Hey, good morning, Bella. Hey,
good morning, Joanne.
Thanks for coming in on such short notice. My nails are just a mess.
Well, we'll take care of that today.
Okay, good. Let's thank see. You.
So, Luann, tell me, how was that church or that program at your church? How did that go?
Well, you know, it went good. It went good, but you know, I've been doing some serious thinking lately. Is that what I'm supposed to say?
About what?
Well, actually, I've been thinking about changing churches.
Really?
Yeah, I have.
But I thought you liked your church.
Well, I do, but you know, some things just I'd like to change. It's not everything I want in a church.
Hi, Betty.
Hi, Grace. How are you today?
Well, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
What can I do for you?
Just a manicure today, please.
No pedicure?
No, not today.
Okay. Would you like gel?
No, just regular, please.
Okay.
I still don't understand. Why would you want to change churches? I thought you told me your church had the best choir you've ever heard.
Well, yes, that's true. We do have a good choir, and we have an awesome choir director. But, you know, our Sunday school is really lacking.
Listen to that lady behind me. What I wouldn't give for a good choir. All my church ever thinks about is the Sunday school department. You know, I'll bet we've got the best Sunday school program in the whole state.
Wow.
But our choir is just pretty much non-existent anymore. Mm-hmm. Sad.
And Bella, it's just not our Sunday school department. It's also our women's ministry.
You don't have any women's ministries?
Well, not to speak of.
That lady behind me should count her blessings. She says her church doesn't have any women's ministries. We have got so much going on for the women in our church. I'm telling you what, it's just exhausting. It's hard to keep up with it. There's always something going on.
Did you hear that lady behind me? She's talking about their women's ministry. Sounds great.
It does.
You know, what's really lacking in my church is a good youth program.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's one thing I can say. We've always had a good youth program.
Oh, that's good.
Always.
Did you hear that? She's got a great youth program in her church. Our youth program is a disaster. I feel so bad for our young people. There's just not anything going on for them.
Our youth are always on the go. My gosh, it just wears me out sometimes.
I suppose her children's church is fantastic, too.
Our children's church has a fantastic program, too.
That's good, good.
What'd I tell you?
You called it.
But you know, our drama department could use a little help.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Not surprising.
Yeah. And I hate to say this, but sometimes our services are too short.
Really?
Yeah,
too
really.
Short?
I wish we had that problem. Our services are always too long.
And you know, we hardly ever have any guest speakers or singers or anything. It's the same old thing all the time.
Do you still have that crazy Mexican preacher you were telling me about?
Yeah, he's still there. And we have guest speakers, we have singing groups, we have everybody coming in all the time. It's just exhausting.
And we hardly ever have any social gatherings here.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
We have so many social gatherings in our church. I am potlucked out. Always about food. It's all about the food.
That lady behind me doesn't know how good she has it.
That lady behind me doesn't know how good she's got it.
I'd like to go to her church.
Wish I could go to her church.
Oh, am I done? Oh, thank you.
That's it.
That looks nice. Thanks. I forgot my purse.
All done.
Great. I love it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Oh, Grace?
Yeah.
Do you think I could visit your church sometime?
Well, of course you could. We'd love to have you. Tell you what, you just let me know when you're coming and I'll save you a seat.
Perfect.
Okay. Look forward to it. Here's your money.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
We'll see you next time.
Okay.
Thank you.
Time,
see you next time.
Oh, Grace, is that you? I didn't know that was you.
Luann, hi.
Wait
either.
Just a minute. Do you two know each other?
Do we know each other?
Of course we know each other. We go to the same church.
Yeah. Okay. We'll go have lunch.
So you're telling me that whole time they were talking about the same church?
Unbelievable, isn't it?
Well, I guess it's true what they say.
Well, what's that?
The only perfect church is the one that you don't attend.
And I want to thank you. Let's give them a hand. I want to make a point that I don't find it ironic that the gal that wanted to go to Miss Nola's church had the Mexican crazy preacher. Thank you very much. All right. And now let's... Let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to do a message along the lines of the skit, and I want to entitle it The Grumble Rumble. The Grumble Rumble. And so, it bears some truths. I love that skit because it just says it all. It really does. Well, you can go to the same church and complain about different things, or one person feel that they're blessed to be a part of that church, and the other person feels like that's just a drawback for them. Who would agree with me on that? You know, after 31 years of full-time ministry, I can tell you what the best part of church ministry is, and that is people. Conversely, I can also tell you what the worst part, and that is people. Amen. In my heart, I have such fond memories of God's great saints. And in my heart, I have a lot of forgiveness for some people that were knuckleheads. But we'll leave that alone. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We want to do a little spade work scripturally here. Just read a few verses because it bears a point on the children of Israel. If you remember with me, they had just been delivered from the land of Egypt for out of 400 years of slavery. What would that be? 5-6 generations of slavery? And now they're out of Egypt and the Lord delivers them through the Red Sea. And now he wants to take them through the wilderness and eventually into the promised land. But there are 5 sins that keep these people out of the promised land. Who wants to see what they are? All right, let's look. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning with verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all, everybody say all, our fathers were under the cloud. All, everybody say all. Passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with, what's the next word?
Most.
With most. It departs the all, and now it goes to most. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. So why did they die in the wilderness? Verse 6, these things became our examples. Whose examples are these dead bodies in the... Our example. Okay? This is why Paul is talking about these. Like, pay attention to these people. These... Israelites, their dead bodies strewn all over the wilderness became our examples, notice carefully, to the intent that we should not, number one, sin number one, lust after evil things as they did, as they also lusted. Number one, they constantly had a deep desire to do what was wrong. Who would agree with me on that? I mean, these Moses had the most thankless job in the world. He was to lead these 2.5 million people through the wilderness, and at every stop, God, listen carefully, God tested him 10 different times. And how many of us know here this morning that they failed each and every one of the tests that God set for them, okay? Now, let's read on, verse 7. And do not become, number two, idolaters as some of them, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. You know what that means? They had orgies. Right? Who remembers when the cat was away up in the mountain, Mount Sinai, talking to God, and the mice came out to play, and the people said to Aaron, we want an idol since this God is not speaking to us. We want something that we can worship while Moses is gone. So Aaron asked for all the ladies' jewelry, their earrings and such, and he forges a golden calf that the people worshiped, and they had orgies. Sorry, kids. They had that. They played, to use a biblical word, Miss Dawn, don't give me that death stare, please. And so anyway, that was sin number two. They were idolaters. Number three, verse 8. Now let us not commit, or nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, notice the punishment, 23,000 fell or died. That's sin number three. Sin number four, nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. And sin number five, verse 10, nor murmur as some of them murmured and were destroyed by the destroyer. Notice verse 11. Now all these things happened to them as what? And they were written for, what's the next word? For our admonition or warning, on whom the end of the ages have come. Very interesting passage of scripture, isn't it? One of the sins, there were five sins that kept the people out of the promised land. One of the sins was murmuring. It was grumbling. Who would agree with me today that it is the easiest thing in the world to grumble about something? Right? You don't need, grumbling does not make you a special person, does it? You fit in right along with the rest of humankind, sweetheart. But allow me to tell you, church family, listen to me. I've got to believe that a lot of grumbling happens because, you know, after a lifetime, I've got to believe that people, a lot of people today are unhappy people. Who would agree with me by a show of hands? Unhappy people. Here's a very simple question for you. Can you make an unhappy person happy? What's that?
Not if they don't want to be.
Who can make that unhappy person happy? Jesus can, but with Jesus, only they themselves can make themselves happy, right? Who's ever met people who knew Jesus, loved Jesus, but were still unhappy people? So it makes you question if they really are plugged into the Lord, because people grumble today. Let me even take it further. Christians grumble today. I mean, we're on the eve of Thanksgiving, and who agrees with me, church family, that as believers, that more is required of us because we know the Lord, and God is a God of joy, and God is not a God of grumbling. Amen? I mean, who's ever been around a grumbling person? Are they a fun person to be with? No. Who's ever been around negative people? I don't like negative people. I'm a happy person. I really am a happy person. I have so many reasons to be thankful for. It's not even funny. I told my wife the other day, I said, you know, I am the most blessed person in the world. And I'm telling you, every single blessing that I have in my life, I do not deserve to have it.
Well, I think, you know, he also meant it for himself, Miss Karen, right, Terry? Especially you, rabble rouser. Anyway, so you know, grumbling people are unhappy people. And it's funny that there's a correlation between the Old Testament and the New Testament. You know, in the New Testament, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I like the way the Amplified Version says it. You know, Jesus said, I have come that you might have and enjoy life to the full until it overflows. But it is no coincidence that even as grumbling was one of the sins that kept God's people out of the promised land in the Old Testament, grumbling today is one of the sins that keeps God's people from enjoying life to the fullest until it overflows. Right? Who would agree with me that we are a blessed people? Who would agree with me that just being a citizen of this great country gives you rights and privileges that you cannot have in any other country? Right? And yet, people will grumble and people will complain. Let me say something about complaining. I think there is a proper place for complaining. And I think that, you know, the longer I've walked with the Lord, I've found out that I get farther with my complaints when I first complain to the Lord. Come on, somebody. When I pray about a situation instead of go bend somebody's ear and tell them how unhappy I am about somebody else or about something. You know, I think people can make themselves more unhappy by simply talking about the things they're unhappy about. Right? And for me, I'm going to talk about all the blessings that I have. Why I'm happy. Why is it so quiet this morning? Am I resonating? Are we connecting? Right? Yep. And so unhappy people will not live a good life because they make themselves unhappy with every subsequent complaint. I think there's a nice way to bring up certain complaints. Right, church family? You can do it without any vitriol. You can do it without any hatred. You can do it without any anger. You can do it without any vindictive spirit. Right? We should do everything in love. Now, that's one of the reasons why people grumble. They grumble because they themselves are unhappy, and let me pursue this thought, and they believe they have every right for everybody else and the whole world and God especially to make them happy. They believe that you exist for their happiness. Who's ever met someone like that? Oh dear God. It's like, get away from me. And they live with such a sense of entitlement, they feel that everybody alive owes them something. You know, for those hearing this message, whether through YouTube or the radio station, I want to say this, darling, if that is you, you need to repent and get a life. Amen. And you need to have a real sense of your place in this world. And your place in this world is this: the world owes you nothing. You owe the world everything you can give it. Right? It's amazing, especially today, a sense of entitlement. My gosh, people live with that. They gripe about it. They call themselves woke. Really? What are you woke about? What are you complaining now that, you know, there should be restitution for all the African Americans that were dealt wrong? Well, you know, if you start going down that road, then there is no end to that kind of form of restitution. Can I get a witness? I mean, but it is all spawned by a sense of entitlement. You know what, church family? I've been done wrong in ministry. I will admit that. I've been done wrong with companies and so on and so forth in my time as a human being. But I did not, in my time, seek to collect from other people what they took from me. I entrusted myself into the hands of God, the righteous judge.
So entitlement causes people to grumble. Can I add another one? What about jealousy? People can become so jealous of you, and I've got to believe that jealousy is one of the worst human traits in a person. Jealousy. They don't have what you have, or the other person is better at something, or the other person is doing something nicer than you, and so immediately you get to grumbling. I remember several years ago, you know, when I was in Effingham, and this church in Mason City, Illinois, contacted me because they had, apparently to them, I had all the right traits of being their next pastor. And so they said, we're wanting to build a church from the ground up. And I know you've had experience with church buildings. And I said, yeah, in my leadership in ministry, I have. And so when I accepted their call, in the year 2007, the church was at a standstill regarding a building program. Some people, some farmers had donated several acres of land for the church to be built on. The church people had contributed $400,000 over the years to build this, but a lot of people were saying, they were thinking, maybe we should give the money back and not pursue this church building. And so, you know me, I'm going to say, let's go for it. Let's do it. And so we, by the grace of God, in the spring of 2008, we broke ground, and the construction began soon after that. And in the fall of 2009, the building was built, and we dedicated that building to the Lord. Very interesting. It was a joyful time in the history of our church because, quite frankly, the church building that we were in before was very landlocked, and the sanctuary was very small. We were a growing church, and there was no room to fit the people, and so we built something much bigger. Now, it was interesting. Everybody was rejoicing with us except for one of the ministers in town. Because the minister in town, he was also into construction, and he himself, many years before that, had built his own church in town. And I remember we were at a minister's meeting, and he brought up our church building, and he began to tear us down. He began to tear down our church building. And you know, the only thing that I could conclude about this other minister is that he was jealous. Because quite frankly, we had a more state-of-the-art building than he had. Isn't that an ugly trait, church family? But are we jealous about other people's possessions? Farmers, are we jealous about their combines? Are we jealous about their sexy tractors? I'm getting to a song now. It's funny the things that we can get jealous over. And you know what? It is ugly on us, especially on God's people. And people will grumble, and people will tear others down, church family, because they are simply jealous that we are something, someone that they aren't, they aspire to be, but they can't be, or whatever the case, and they'll seek to tear us down. Interesting concept. But I'm telling you, how many of y'all agree with me? That stuff happens, and that stuff goes on, and sometimes in some churches. I didn't say all the churches, I said in some churches. You know, it's what I like to call the crab mentality. Many years ago, my ex-wife, who was raised in the South, she said she would go to the beach, and my deceased father-in-law, great man, miss him like crazy, but he would go crabbing, collecting crabs so that they could eat them. And he said, if you put one crab in a pail, he's going to climb out. But he said the way to keep crabs in a big pail or bucket is to put two crabs in at the same time, because when one seeks to get out, what's going to happen? What's the other going to do? Pull them down. So to keep a crab or crabs in the bucket, just have more than one, and they're all going to stay there because somebody's going to reach up and pull them down. Who's met people that likes to pull people down? Gosh. Why? Shouldn't we as God's people be a people that want to lift them up? Amen. We all need encouragement in this day and age. We all need to be cheering each other. We all need to be helping each other along in our walk with the Lord, right? Instead of trying to put down people, we should be saying, hey, you're awesome, man. I believe in you. I'm on your side. Let's get this done. Right, church family? That is the grumble rumble. I had a let's look very quickly at the Exodus scripture. Exodus chapter, once again, this is the same people, same audience. They had just crossed the Red Sea by the leading of Moses, and Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. I want to sing this song, Miss Nolan. The Lord, my God, my strength, my song. We'll have to sing it sometime. Has now become my victory, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. Next verses. Then Miriam, we're skipping down to verse 20, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the timbrel in her hand, or the tambourine, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances, and Miriam answered them, sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days into the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, the word Marah in the Hebrew means bitter, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people did what? What were they just doing before this? Weren't they singing and praising God? Did you see how easy they can go from praise to complaining? And the people complained against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? God's delivered them out of the nation of Egypt, the most powerful nation in the world at that time, drowned all its army in water, and now they can't find drinkable water, so they're complaining. What shall we drink? So he cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast into the waters were made what?
Sweet.
Sweet. Listen, church family, even as these people came upon an external bitter place, we too from time to time find ourselves in externally bitter places. Can we say amen? Now listen, if we're not careful, we'll let that external bitterness get on the inside, and then we'll begin to complain, and then we'll become bitter, and then we'll become grumblers, won't we? Who agrees with me that God's people should all be sweet? Isn't Jesus sweet? Should we be sweet? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your word, Lord God. Father, help us not to be found as grumblers, as complainers, as unhappy people, as jealous people. Father, help us to be thankful always. Help us to express gratitude in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for that in his precious name. Amen.